Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In Sura Ali Imran, Allah Ta'ala discusses the battle of Uhud at length. One student came and asked last night, what is the purpose of all this ta'aleem, etc., etc.? Now he's in the last year and he's inquiring, now what's the purpose? You can't, on one side, you can't make any person despondent, but you feel a little uncomfortable at this moment to come and ask. Nonetheless, مَا لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ لَا يُدْرَكُ كُلُّهُ. Whatever you can salvage, salvage. First, this boy is intelligent, maybe not very intelligent, little experience. So I asked him, see, you get different children coming to school, and each person has a vision of his own, a sight of his own. Every person has Allah's qudrat. 10 people are all from the same family, but their eating habits are different. He wants it hot, he wants it cool, he wants it mild, he wants sweet, he wants a sip tea with every second, third morsel, and he wants juice. But you can trace them all from one family. The tastes are so diverse. So I asked him, see, you've been to school, right? So there'll be students coming to school with different mindsets. There may be a child that's coming to school. He's very sporty, so he says the school year got a lot of sporting activities within the school time and after extracurricular activities. So he can be strong and healthy and can be intelligent. So he looks at it from that dimension, that I need to be strong, get involved in sports and soccer and whatever else. So this is one child and this is his outlook. The next child may think, well, my parents have sent me to school, I don't want to disappoint them, let me just do and continue. The third child may think, well, I've got a flair for history, etc., so let me excel in that. But the fourth child may feel, oh man, this sporting and all that is just a side issue, sideline. It's not the main theme. And then the history, etc., it's generally any country, the history that is taught is flavored with racialism, right? Or the people that have asked you to prepare, so they are your bosses, they want you to prepare the history in a certain way. So you see the boss right, and he sees you right. So that's how the history goes. So the history is not going to do me anything because it's influenced. And these people don't believe in a God. And if they do believe in a God, they've got no conscience. The conscience they have is for money. So they worship money. So whoever throws the wealth, then we'll be enslaved to him, whoever. Whatever song he wants us to sing, we'll sing it, but we know we're getting a return. So they're more worried about the return than anything else. But they just have to flavor it with a little bit of an educational language so the learner can say, no, this is a good work, a good piece of work. But in the meanwhile, it's influenced with several other factors, racialism, sometimes the boss. So the same applies to science as well. You may say a lot of things, right? With the Big Bang, whatever. But then you go and analyze it, they also got some bosses. And the bosses will see them right if you see the boss right. So they will prepare it in a certain way. This morning I was explaining to someone. So he's telling me about world conditions and how turmoil, what was going on, the turmoil that's going on. And the worst, and what corruption is bringing in. And the white and how they view the rest of the world. They feel that we are the boss and everybody else must listen to us. So I asked him, I want to know one question from you. Who made them the boss? His answer was, they made their self-appointed bosses, but we also think about them as bosses. That's your problem. You took them as your boss, so you worship them, you will emulate them, you will follow them, whatever they do, so you will do, because they consider themselves, they portray themselves as the leader, as the trendsetter, as the ideal person, and you also view them in the same way. So it's their fault and your fault. You cannot say it's an isolated problem, it's your fault as well. So you think like them, you behave like them, you see things like them, you begin to structure and plan like them, because you consider them, you count them to be your leader. So it's your problem and their problem. But if you remove them from the equation, they're nothing. It's just a mindset. They portray themselves to the radio, to the television, through media, whichever way, but they portray themselves as the leader. So if you can match up to that standard, then you own. If you speak English like that, well, you own. You're very educated. If you can't speak English so well, then you're not educated. If you know this science, then you're educated. And if you don't know that science, then you're not educated. So these are nothing serious. But the Shaykh Hamdali, the South African students who will be studying in Sahanpur, you see, ye hukumat ka farm bharna hai, inko de do, ye kar denge. Kuch khat likhna hai hukumat ka, unko keh do. So they don't take it serious. Well, he knows about it. Let him do it. Some official papers, documents, etc. Get them to do it. They can do it. They know how to do it. They know the language. They know how to do it. So they can do it. So nothing serious about it. Now we become over. Hey, he can write a letter. He can do this. He can do that. So why? We became overwhelmed with the boss. And we need to rethink that we have to be at the same standard to be moving. So we become overwhelmed when they talk about LG. What's LG? I think it's a scrap. It's trash, it's a scrap. But because they are portraying themselves as the boss, you feel overwhelmed. And we seem to write by the scrap, to see one side. Who impressed the world that it's something to live with? They impressed the world, and who got impressed? You got impressed, so therefore you began to talk about it. If you weren't impressed, then you would have just discarded it. But they spoke about it, and they spoke about it such that you got impressed. Why? Because you feel that they are the trendsetters. So who made them the trendsetter? Who made them the precedent? Because there is a scrap. So leave the scrap one side and move on. Why do you become overwhelmed? Why? Is there any reason for you to become overwhelmed? So I asked him, alright, now see, there's three categories of students. Now you get the last category. The last category of the student is that he's thinking to himself, what must I learn and why must I learn? See, it's a mindset. The way you brought up, you begin to think like that. You're coming in a family that's affluent, and you think, no, I must maintain this affluence, sustain the lifestyle. That's how you think. And you know, do everything just to bring about that lifestyle. So you can go to an insurance, you can change the word into takaful, do whatever, but just to maintain and enjoy the lifestyle. So everything you can do, just to squeeze it into Islam, to make it look Islamic. But now, what was your problem? You brought up in a certain style. When you brought up in a certain style, you got indoctrinated. When you got indoctrinated, now you feel, you and your circle feels, that that's the way to go. See how it works. That's why, many a time you think about the Buzurgan Din of old. Hazrat Rahmatullah would say, when you come here, sukut or sukoon, silence and mental silence, mentally also be silent. So now you've cut yourself from everything else, verbally, and he says, ye aapas mein betakallufi kya? You come here for the Islah, you come for the reformation and correction, this informal relationship, sitting down, talking, etc., etc., that would just scatter your mind in every direction. So you came here for Islam, must be just one track, your mind must be just one track. And the two things that would go with this, sukut or sukoon. When they correct you, in small words they correct you. But it's left to the individual, does he take him seriously or not? If he takes him lightly, casually, then that's how he goes. But if he takes those Muzuganadin seriously, then he moves, and he moves at a tremendous speed. So your mind can't be scattered anywhere else. If your mind is scattered, then you know, he's listen to him also, listen to that person also, listen to that person also. Phir tumhara to kaam ban gaya. Then you're alright now. You heard here, it's for this one year. So you lose the affection of your senior. And number two, you lose the confidence. So you can't move now. Because you lost the affection, you lost the confidence. Then you will apply your brain. Every situation, my brain, what I think, what I say, what I think, what I say. That's how you will feel. See how it happens. Right? So now, we're talking of school and how it works, right? See the mindset. They also, you're not stupid, they prepared something. And they want you to think and reason in a certain way. I've been mentioning last week sometimes that in the early 60s there was a song that was going. Right? Well, in the early 60s they introduced music into the school. The music became a subject. And that became education. Right? So drama, becoming naked, all that. That becomes education. What they say becomes education. So if they say sewage, that becomes pure. But it's what they say. You become so enslaved, you begin to think like that, and you can't allow yourself to think otherwise. So you're not pure Islamic. You're not pure. Allah wants the purity. Ma umiru illa liya'budullaha mukhlisina lahuddina hunafa. In how many words he's saying, I want absolute purity. I don't want contaminated. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ إِخْلَاص. And your whole dedication is to him. هُنَفَا يَكْسُوهُ كَرْكِ. You cut away from everything else, just to Allah Ta'ala. So in so many words, he wants you just to be indoctrinated by him, what the Quran Sharif says. Now, are you in that indoctrination, or are you contaminated in your mind? Think to yourself. Can you have the pure version of Islam? Pure version of Deen? So now, we're talking of these three categories of students, right? So this one is more interested in the history and geography, because there's a lot of excitement, stories, what happened there and there. Now, the fourth category of a student, he thinks, hey, but this geography and history, it's flavored with racialism. And it's a boss song that you are singing, right? I'm not interested. Geography now, they talk about how much wool is in Australia and New Zealand, and how much beef is coming out in Argentina. Now, I don't want to do all these things here. Why must I learn these things here? What's the need? See, he's analyzing. Right? He's trying to work out now. They're offering me subjects, and they want to indoctrinate me. They want a certain mindset. So why must I get indoctrinated? They're teaching me a second language as Afrikaans. Now from the time we were in school till now, I don't think there was a day that I needed Afrikaans. So they made it look so important, Afrikaans. They made it look so important, and I had to excel in Afrikaans, in geography, science, all that. But then from that day till now, it didn't pay my rent, didn't buy my clothes, didn't buy me a house. So what's the need to learn these things here? The man is analyzing his reasoning. Okay, what's the reason? See, this greatest faculty Allah has blessed is the mind. And the mind must do the greatest work, because it's the greatest faculty, most important faculty, must do the most important work, think, reason. So history is a scrap. Geography is a scrap. Afrikaans is a scrap. So he's still, this youngster is still thinking, what must I invest my time and my energy into? I said, no, then. Alright, the language that is spoken across, I need to learn that. Why? Because for me to be able to grasp concepts, then I need to know the language. If I don't know a language, can I grasp a concept? So I need to know the language well. For me to be able to convey, then I need to have a very, very sound vehicle. I must be able to convey, and I must be able to grasp. So I need the language so that I can grasp right, and I can convey it, I can deliver it right. So now this man is thinking right. You see from where they started, and see that diversity in their thinking. So one thing I need is the language. I need to know the language. And he's got a sound reason to choose the language. Alright, what is the language that is generally spoken everywhere? Alright. For my well-being, I need to know the language. So, but in that, I mustn't become affected with the language. Because every language comes with a culture. If you're speaking Arabic, it comes with a culture. If you're speaking Urdu, it comes with a culture. We think that language doesn't come with a culture. Language is totally different to the personal behavior. We don't realize. Hadith is saying, man that is keeping horses, then he has a different temperament. He can become proud. Camels, he can become proud. The person is keeping goats and sheep, he becomes pure humble. So the association must affect you. Come what may, you think, no, I'm not getting affected. I'm too strong. Don't say that. You are too much with this. What is just a reasonable amount? Maybe some also rode a horse. A reasonable amount what you need to do. Your business is a different thing. But you, all the time with the horses, all the time with the camels, that you must become a haughty person. That's a hadith now. You can't go against it. That's the yardstick. That's the criteria. So your association with the language also can contaminate your reasoning. Now the greatest contamination in this English, any person that is studying the language or did it, right, did it with a respect for the language, then you'll find two flaws definitely in him. Illa mashallah, illa marrahim arubu. The one flaw you'll find is he will have a tendency of thinking himself to be superior. Come what may. You'll feel that. Oh, I can speak the language, I'm superior, I can convey, I can do things. So this is what he'll feel. Why? It's the boss's language. You're talking, what are you talking? You're talking the boss's language. So when you're talking the boss's language, you also feel, hey, I'm in line. The second two things that will come, it definitely must come with a level of immodesty. It definitely come with some level of immodesty. I'm saying that when you are in 1960, they started with the English language, the songs in school, right? So the songs that they started, I don't know, I just got up one night, one morning, I think it was Tuesday or something, thinking, hey, but this was the line they taught us in 1960. What was the song, what was the line? When I was young, my father said, son, you must be a bachelor boy, and that's the way to go. Some old people will remember that, right? Now, I'm thinking, you see that impressionable mind, he took that thing, like a song, something great, and he starts singing, right? And the guess is that most people will not understand the toxin in that. Now that is going totally against the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here Rasulullah is saying, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a, falyatazawaj, fa'innahu agaddu lil-basar, wa ahsanu lil-fajr. You can afford the responsibilities of marriage. O assembly of youth, you can marry, that means you can do afford the expenses, the responsibilities of marriage, then get married. And what do you think? You remain a bachelor boy. That's the way to go. They'll give it to a child, and he's going to take it. And I'm sure if anybody heard the song, it never occurred to him that is it anything wrong. Never occurred to him. Until I'm bringing it to your attention now, the wrong and the fallacy that's in it. But you see how the mind surely, very discreetly, they must affect your mind. Your mentality must be changed. Then again, I start thinking, you know, it made me think. I tell the ustad or some of them, when I'm alone in the holidays, I think better. There's too much of commotion, like a supermarket. Come on, going, coming, coming, going, coming, going. So I enjoy the work, but as far as thinking and reasoning, I can reason better when I'm all alone. Not that I don't reason when I'm in a jamaat or something, but the level of reasoning is better there. Now, then I'm seeing now, alright, you're going to the high school, they're teaching you set works, right? And it's all about girlfriend and boyfriend. All about, you look at the Othello, what it is. What is it? And that other one, what is the other one? Let's talk about Shakespeare's work. Romeo and Juliet, what is it about? Now that person, the youngster, he feels that's the way to go. And I'm convinced, because the amount of books that are written, and our own youngsters now, hey, my fiancé said this, man. My fiancé is disappointed, there is a tawis for that. Now haram ka kaam kar rahe, badtameez. और ये पूछ रहे हैं कि जी हराम के काम करने के लिए कुछ तावीज दे दो. और यंगस्टर इज कमिंग इन फ्रॉम जोहान्सबर्ग टू मीट समवन इन डर्बन. आई केम विद माय फियांसी, वी हैड अ प्लेजेंट राइड. ही नॉट इवन फीलिंग एम्बैरस्ड दैट ऑल दैट वे दैट दे ट्रैवल एंड केम टुगेदर वे इन ज़िना, बट ही डजंट कंसीडर द सिन टू बी सिन. सी व्हाट रीच. एंड देन वी आर सीइंग दिस थिंग्स, वी आर लिसनिंग टू दिस थिंग्स, बट डू वी बैट एन आई टू इट? The most will say, "Oh, it's his sin, it's his problem now. I can't do anything about it." That's our attitude. But you see how it corrupts and how it spoils the mind. Then we associating with these people, working with them, and we don't even talk anything about it. Then what happens to us? But that's where the Quran complains, "Kanu la yatanahuna ammun karin faalu." Seeing the wrong, you're stopping it. Tara kathirun minhum yatawallawna, is mixing up with the fujar fusaq. It's normal. لَا يَمْنَعُهُ أَيَّكُونَ أَكِيلَهُ وَشَرِيبَهُ وَجَلِيسَهُ. See, the man is doing wrong. But that doesn't deter you in the least. You carry on associating, parting with the person. Now you see your mind how it goes. After some time, that abnormal behavior seems to be like normal. It's an abnormal behavior. But it will seem to you to be normal behavior. So now this child here, he's thinking now, you know, you're talking about what's the essence of the whole madrasa. So I showed him through the circular subjects that what is the essence. Now this child has seen, alright, I need a vehicle to grasp and to be able to deliver. And the vehicle that I see that is most suitable, right, most competent, is this language, right? So I'm just using it as a tool, nothing more than a tool. It's a tool, I need to use it, I need to convey. Whether it was made by a kafir or a mushrik, it's a different thing. But I just need a tool, reliable tool, to convey the message. I'm not proud of it. I'm not boastful of it. I'm not bragging about it. Now tell me, the person speaking English is speaking with a twang. Right? You speak normal English, you seem to be a good person. But with a twang, American accent, eh, mashallah, see how he speaks. So it's a kufar thing, then you got the accent, you got the twang, and you feel proud about yourself, but it's not on. No, you know me, I got an American passport, not a Pakistani, what do you think about me? So you're proud to be in a Darul Harbi, a Darul Kufar, Darul Islam, you feel yourself to be embarrassed. Don't you feel that? Hey, I got a green card, man, I'm a green card holder. You know, I don't come from this jungle here. I come from the UK. I am okay. See how you think. I ask you, is that mind pervert or not? Is he thinking right? And I quoted the verse, "Ma umiru illa liya'budullah mukhlisina lahu ad-din hunafa." In how many words Allah is saying, "I want the purity." قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. In the day, on the day of Qiyamah, it is only dishonesty that will work. Everything else will fall aside. What was the level of honesty? What was the level of truth? كُنُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. How much did you invest in that? So, one is you need the vehicle. And the second thing you need to do, you need, now, to travel the journey of life, is you need to be able to reason right. Understand things in perspective, see things right. So, for that I need to have some maths. Why? That I can reason right, I can understand right, I can see things in perspective. So these two things I need. This whole glorified picture of education, I just need these two things. Now, that person on the first level, second level, third level, he looked at all the sideshows and he got stuck in the sideshow. And the person on the fourth level is the only person that saw it right. But the first, second, third level, they all mistaken. But we will think to ourselves that they are very, very respectable persons. They've got some degrees, etc. By what? Nonsense. Dimag mein teacher hai. Mind is full with wrong, full. Now, I'm moving and crossing away from secularism to Islam, right? And now, let's look at the madrasa studies. So this child comes in, right? So one child comes in, well, there's no options for me now. University and all, then I don't think it's the right place to be because of the environment. My mother, my father won't like me to be there. Environment is not right, right? So it's a boy or a girl, you must fall into some accident or something. It's designed in such a way, giving you the passport to freedom. So when you've got the passport to freedom, what stops you? From womanizing, from whining, dining, what stops you? Nothing stops you. Everything. You'll only come right maybe after 22 years now, then you become a little bit responsible. But for the 22 years, you were in that environment, you were soaked in that environment, you didn't even realize what was wrong and what was right. You get into that. And now, especially now when they give you the passport to freedom, you can do as you like, you can say what you want, you can behave as you want. The passport of freedom. And many people thereafter become addicted to that life. And then to remove themselves from that life becomes very difficult. You see, you begin to worship that. All your life, you worship the material, and then you become materialistic. This week, some doctor came and see me, a friend. So he says, I'm just returning from Ireland, right? Now look at the report. See, the end of Westernism, capitalism, materialism, and what it does to you. So a lot of people are moving up to Ireland, right? There's a lot of educated people, a lot of big mega bucks they earn, right? A lot of money. Lots of money they earn, right? People are going there. Well, then he's asking, see, listen to one story. They met the person in some way or other, they met him. So the man is crying. Yeah, okay, what happened, right? He says, his child was about 7, some odd years of age. She went to school. Got an Irish friend, girl. So she's also, they're friends, right? This Muslim girl and Swanish friends. So anyway, this Irish girl sees this Muslim girl. She's sobbing a little bit. She's grieving. What happened? No, my mother reprimanded me. So I'm sad about it. Exactly in 2 days, police were there. They uplifted this Muslim's 5 children, took it to a home. They got no trace of where the children are. Absolutely. If you think people here are from the jungle, that's a real jungle. That's a real jungle. This might be just a play jungle, but that's a real jungle. Mother, imagine the mother's attachment for a child. This was worse than their own behavior. A small little excuse just to uplift the children. Now, they got mega bucks, but what happened to the children? And obviously in the home, they will feed them with swine, and what will be the end of this children? Think to yourself, they'll feed them, they won't feed them according to your standards, according to their standards. What will happen to these children in a few years? Feeding them with swine, what will happen? What are they going to turn out to be? So when you begin to worship materialism, then one thing you get caught in and meshed, and the second thing, and the third thing, and the fourth thing, you just get caught in. And the only way is then by have someone that you will latch on to. You will hold on to, you will latch on to. They give me another Kalbazari, but all is not so bad. There's another person, I say, it's a Bangladeshi, right? He came into Ireland. Give a long Kalguzari, right? But I'll just give you these two incidents. So he came into Ireland, and he thought to himself, now what must I do? coming from a poor Bangladeshi background, so let me open up a coffee shop. Right. They did well, then coffee and samosa or whatever else. Then he said, well, let me start with the butcher. I started doing well, progressing. Progressed, and he progressed. And his key word was, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. The Tabligh Jamaat, and Khuda se hone ka yaqeen, or Ghairullah se na hone ka yaqeen. So there are two things, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, every second sentence. And the second is, there's a cardiologist, right, and he's the simmedar. So whatever he's doing, he's referring. He's not doing things independently. He's Bangladeshi. If he's asked if anything, then there's a referral point, and he's going strictly by the book. Whatever he says, I will do that. I won't move this right, I won't move left. In the meanwhile, I started off a butcher. Then now he saw, hey, that thing is growing now. Now he needs an abattoir. So that is now paying in euros, right? A couple of million euros. And already, where the money came from, Allah knows. One euro is about 20 rands. You can do the math yourself. A couple of millions is paid. And he's bought that place. Now, and he is not leaving out that contact with the doctor, Islamul Haq Sahib. He maintains that contact. And every second sentence, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, as a referral point, I must tell him, I must ask him, I can't do things independently. And that thing is just growing from strength to strength, it's just growing. I can see the businessmen are listening quite attentively. There's buddy involved, that he must be attentive, isn't it? Because paise ka hone ka yaqeen, yeah? Paise se hone ka yaqeen. So now, he bought that whole abattoir. Now they're not giving him the license. No. Obviously, that white man always feels himself to be a little bit superior. So you can't be having such a big plant. Man is only 36 years of age. Right? Only 36 years of age, he's complying. And at the end now, there are nothing, no complaints against him. Saying, alright, we want to see you at our offices. In the meanwhile, he's contacting that same doctor, Islamul Haq Sahib, the Zimmedar. No, they must see you at your office. And he doesn't better. He said, no, I'm not prepared to come to your office, you come to see me. They came in. Said, we're not, alright, you are compliant, but we're not prepared to give you the license. Well, then I'm going to the press. No, don't worry. We'll try and work out something. In the meanwhile, now he wants to marry. So he found a girl, 24 years of age, pure Irish. She's prepared and he's prepared. Right? Someone was the contact person, made that link, right? So again he speaks to the doctor, Islamul Haq Sahib. Said, no. If she wants to marry you, she must come and live here with you. All the Bangladeshis, all that, all the Muslims here, they must live here. They had a discussion in the family. The girl was on one foot, no, I want to get married. See? Now today, Allah gave so much that doctor that seen me saying he's a multi-billionaire, 36 years of age. He's supplying meat to the whole of Portugal, Spain, a lot of the Europe areas, a lot of Arabs are. You know, all that compliancy, regulations, vaccinations, and the halal is totally above board. But you see this referral, consulting, and that yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So that's the most you can do. Allah wants you to shawirhum and trust, wa tawakkal ala Allah. Shawirhum wa tawakkal ala Allah. Isn't it going together? So that tawakkul, increase the tawakkul, saying la hawla, nothing can happen without Allah's word. And shawir, I must consult, I must refer. You see, in this deen, Allah doesn't give you according to your name, Ismail, Yusuf, over the title, etc. وَلَكِ يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ He looks at your heart. Is your heart following the right procedure or not? Are you jumping or are you following the right procedure? Is the level of your humility the same or it's now changed? So this is what Allah is watching. And you think, no, I am like this and I'll be favored like that. and you feel, no, I don't need to go this route, I can take my own route, and then see what happens after that. So we're coming back to the student, you know, the long discussion I had with him, and I'm sharing with you. So I asked him, see, now you come to a madrasa, right? So one child came in, I came in and said, no, I can't go to university, and I'm too young now, just to be sitting at home or going to the business, I'm too young. I need to pass some time, so let me go to the madrasa, alright, that's one child. The second child that came to the madrasa, right, he's thinking, alright, what are the core subjects? No, he's thinking, alright, what are the exciting subjects? History, a bit of literature, a lot of excitement, Arabic language, you can speak the language, right? So now he's after the language, and he's after a bit of history. So he got it. We won't see what he's doing is haram. He's got something good, alright. Now the third student is thinking, alright, what are the main subjects the madrasa offers? So alright, Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, etc. These are the main subjects. So he invested all his energies into that. Now the fourth student is thinking, alright, from the Quran, Hadith, and Fiqh, what Allah Pak wants? What is the essence of the essence? Ruh, what it wants? So he's studying the Quran, he's studying the Hadith, then he's studying Fiqh. Now he's trying to work out from all this what I'm studying. Alright, one is, I'm passionate, I like to study these things here. But one is, what does Allah Ta'ala want from all this? What does Allah Ta'ala want from all this that I'm doing? What does He want? So now this student, he's thinking, employing his reasoning, from all what I'm doing, striving, working hard, Allah Pak wants something from this, what does He want? So then, eventually he comes to the conclusion, what Allah Pak wants, is I must recognize Him first, for the favors, for the good, for the blessings, for all that He showered onto you, recognize this thing. Once you recognize these things, then appreciate. No matter what level you are a weak student or you are a strong student. You are an intelligent student or unintelligent. You are hard working or average working. But in all this, what Allah Pak wants is what is the level of you recognizing me. See, there's people coming to a workplace, right? So they will come with different backgrounds, different intentions. But now the last person is thinking, oh, I must recognize the boss. First understand his power, his might, and the clout that he's got. Right? After I've recognized him, the clout that he's got, the power that he's got, the authority that he's got, now then I must appreciate him. Now the boss is seeing, alright, this man, he recognizes me, the power that I yield, the authority that I have, the power that I enjoy, he understands. And therefore he is appreciative. Now understand the relationship there. And understand the relationship with the boss. The person is competent, he does his job well. But he doesn't really recognize the boss. He's not so appreciative. Tell him what will be the relationship. So in all this, what Allah wants is what's the relationship, what is the level of appreciation and gratitude. What's the level? Then, eventually, then I told him, see, a long hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and the Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entire beard became wet with tears, the tears fell onto his chest, Mubarak, right? And then, Aisha radiallahu anha is asking, and when Allah Pak has forgiven all the past and the future, then what's the need to cry like this? Then the answer is, Afala akunu abdan shakura. Now do you understand? Then shouldn't I be a grateful servant? From all what Allah Pak wants, that what He wants, the essence of the whole thing is, what's the level of your gratitude? What's the level of your appreciation? Then appreciation comes at two levels. One is at the level of Allah Ta'ala, because He is the supreme provider. Right? He is the actual provider, He is supreme. Right? And number two, Allah Ta'ala also wants all those that come in the procedure, respect them as well. Anishkur li wali walidik. Respect me and your parents. So they're coming in the procedure. They come in that whole line. When they come in that line, then what's the level of your respect for them, appreciation? Well, father, now we did something for him. Now it's enough. Now he must do his thing, and we'll do our own thing. We don't have to be now hyped up and do all type of funny things. Now. See, so that is the one. That's the English mentality. This is the Western mentality. This is the circular mentality that we have become slaves to. And then one is the Muslim mentality. You're coming from India. That's a different mentality altogether. That mentality, you will begin to look at the behavior of the people of the past. Bukhari Sharif has got it. The people are stuck up in a cave. Then each one is told, you make dua through the wasila of your good deeds. And one person says, I have a herd of sheep or goats, right? And in the evening I milk the animals and I serve my parents first, then my wife and children, right? So now I got delayed, perhaps the herd, or it took me some time to herd the animals, whatever reason. And as I came into the house, my parents were asleep. So I had the utensil in my hands, children are crying on that side. But I said, no, until I haven't served my parents, I'm not going to rest. First I need to serve them, then I'll serve my children. On account of that respect, that appreciation, my parents, and I owe it to them. My parents, I need to show servitude to them. My parents, I need to show humility to them. If they are talking, I mustn't raise my voice. If they're wanting something, I must show their gratitude for all the good that they have done. I mustn't just run, just bypass them, do things. I mustn't do that. I mustn't have that attitude. Or just on account of that additional respect that is shown, Allah will open the cave. See, from a situation like, a situation you think, hey, there's no way out. And just the respect, that additional respect that they've shown to the parents, Allah will open that. Now we're looking for a lot of things to do, a lot of things. But this level of gratitude, are we investing in that? We're doing a lot of things. We're not saying you're not doing. But the level of gratitude that is supposed to be shown, are we showing this thing? One of the founders of Nadwa University, Shibli Nomani, some of you may have heard the name, right? Quite popular. So his two statements, profound orator, wherever he goes, orator, powerful, too powerful. But more Tamil Sabrahma quotes him. He says, our work, everything is one side. Lekin ye deen phailana ka kaam usi se ho sakta hai, jiske paas quwwat ruhani, whose heart is pulsating with taqwa, with righteousness, with virtue. And that righteousness and that virtue, etc., this can only come with association. You do as you want, and minus the association. So the oration is too good, the book is too good, but it doesn't have an effect. So the effect can only come if you got yourself lit up. You got the light, now you can light. And you don't light yourself, and you want to light. Can it happen? You haven't lit yourself yet. You haven't got yourself that light, and now you want to pass on that light. Can it happen? That's one incident more quoted. The other incident quoted of the same Shibli Nomani, very popular. More Alim Asas, I think is Ustad or Ustad quotes him. He says, he came to Kanpur and he delivered a talk. Big crowd, very big audience. India, the audience is not like here. Here you say 800 people came, 500. There you got a couple of thousands. After the talk, his ustad sat in the talk. After the talk, his ustad stretched his feet. Shibli zara pair mein darz ho raha hai. Just like that, in the crowd, he's like, Shibli. Now imagine how, in what esteem he's been held. Right. What respect they are showing for him. And the ustad is saying, Shibli, zara peron mein taangon mein zara dard mehsoos hai, zara isko daba do. And without blinking an eye, he is prepared to do it. You see that appreciation, that love, appreciation, and that divine strength. We talk about everything else, the color, the gloss, the presentation. But did we invest in these things? the divine strength, that appreciation. Did we invest in that? So this is where we're stuck now. This world is stuck here presently, is just to increase the material, the looks, the glamour, the looks, presentation, that must be excellent. But investing in the actual thing was that the ruhaniyat, the taqwa. You know, when you look at the Quran Sharif, there's two things that the Quran Sharif says that you need to invest. Right? And both are repeated. One is, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Look how many places the Quran Sharif is saying, this is the benchmark, come on to this. And the tazkiyah is the same thing what is offered in the khanqa. When you go and analyze the whole thing, where is that offered? Talim is offered at a certain place, tabligh is offered at a certain place, tazkiyah is offered at a certain place, and Allah Pak says, that's the benchmark. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Opening verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتٍ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Oh, look at the tafsir, what's the meaning of وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Isma fa'il, isn't it? Isma fa'il comes for jumla fa'ili, ismiya comes for istimrar. So constantly they are monitoring their tazkiyah, the level of tazkiyah. At any given time they are looking, alright, this is tazkiyah right or right. Because proportionate to the tazkiyah is the flow from above. If the tazkiyah is right, then the flow is right. If the tazkiyah is not right, the flow is all getting dented, it's getting interrupted. It's flowing, but it's getting interrupted. See, like it's a stream that's running, and there's no tazkiyah, so there's holes in the stream. So what happens to the flow? It must get affected. And if the tazkiyah is done right, as though all those holes were blocked up, now the stream is running, and it's giving 100%. Otherwise, all getting wasted. It's coming out with the flow. But all getting wasted. So this is the one line that the Quran says repeats tazkiyah. Get this thing right. That's why he says, if you look at the Sahaba Kiram, there is no person that is parallel to the Sahaba. Greatest of the awliya, greatest of the Buzurgana Deen, Muhaddisin, Mashaykh, etc. But nobody comes near any Sahabi. But then the Hadith says, Sahabatuka nujum, they are stars. بِأَيْهِ مُقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. You'll be guided. Though they were not all professionals, not specializing in anything. But then what was the distinguishing factor that made the Sahabi a Sahabi? That he is a guiding light. Association. That reference. How much they refer him. Allah's system, it's a system, you can't bypass the system. You want it, you have to be with it. And being with it, then does the color flow. The color flows with the being. See, that mango or that fruit wants the color, wants the sweetness. But it doesn't want to stay in the company of the sun. But it wants the sweetness, it wants the color. Will it get the colorness and the sweetness? If it likes it or not, if it's burning him or not, if the sun is hurting him or not, he has to just expose himself to the association of that sun. Whether he likes it or he doesn't like it. It's too hard, it's too severe, whatever it is. But that fruit has to expose himself to the association of that sun. The light got him, that heat got him, now the sweetness moved, it's transferred from there to him. The sweetness has gone, the color has come in, everything is coming. So now I'm explaining, now you understand that what's the whole essence, the essence of the essence of a madrasa. Get that spirit right. Everything else, there are a lot of things. You will not say that you got anything else of the madrasa, that it was a waste of time. But unfortunately, you didn't get the actual essence. You got something, and what you got is not a waste, not wasted. But what you was actually supposed to be getting, that you got left out. So this was the khulasa of that. But anyway, we were talking of something else, and we just branched off here. We're talking of the essence of the essence. I showed you one ayat of the Quran, says, right? Now look at another ayat. Siru fil ard, right? Go travel. But not to go see nude beaches in Turkey. Not to travel aimlessly. That man is telling me he went there with his daughter-in-law, daughters, everybody. Everybody is in the birthday suit in Turkey. Everybody. Fat or thin, old or young, short or tall, everybody in the birthday. Now it's an Islamic country we are in there. To see what? I said, be sharam kahin ke? With your daughter and your daughter-in-law, you're looking at all these things here. Where your brain is gone? You got any shame in your eyes? No, it's my old habit to shout, right? So people know by now, they used to it, that I shout, so they take it. So Allah Pak saying, travel, but then what? Travel for what? Then, fanzuru, then watch. Just observe, travel, because life is equated to time, what? That time, and you come around, at that time, you go, you leave. So life is equated to time. So time is the best teacher. What? Life or time is the best teacher. Then if the time is the best teacher, then the second question will be, who's the best student? There's a question that will come up. So the best student is that one, Fanzuru, he's watching carefully. What he's supposed to be doing, he's doing. See that in the class, who's the best student? He comes on time, he leaves on time. He's doing his work diligently. He's listening. He's appreciative of time, of his teachers, of his seniors. That's the best student. Fasiru fil ard, fanzuru, watch. Watch. So the best student is the one that observes, he watches, he appreciates. He's seeing things correctly in perspective, not with a biased mind, not with malice, not with jealousy. No. He's looking with an open, clean, honest mind. What I need to observe, that is honest because yanfa'u sadiqina sidqum, the only thing that works for Allah Ta'ala is honesty. Kunu ma'as sadiqin. That's the only thing that works. Right. So, he's watching with a clear, honest mind. Not because I like the person or I dislike the person, but an honest mind is watching. But then he must observe. What must he observe? Siru fil ard fanzuru. So, what must I watch? فَانْزُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. See what is the end. So you must look at the end. Right? So if you come to a madrasa or any other learning institute, whatever, where are you going? Your eyes must be focused to see the end in the business now. So what is the end of the business? So what's going to be my remuneration? What's going to be my position? I work for a month, for 2 months, I'm doing this business, what's going to be the end? So I need to watch. Then you say that the person is intelligent, he's watching and he's seeing how it ends up. Madrasa is starting, is watching and how it ends up. So the life becomes the greatest teacher and the best student is the one that's observing, and the best observer is that person that's watching the goal. Where this thing ends up? Where is it ending up? If there's no goal, there's no goal post, there's no meaning. I ask you, if they're playing soccer around, right? And there's no goal post. Is there any meaning to that sport? So exactly the same. Now you're watching where this thing is leading. Right. So then you see, you know what? This thing is leading Hilal Cemetery, leading Dayal Road, leading Brook Street. This is where the whole life is ending up. So then this lesson is, then go to the Kabristan. Alright, a safe Kabristan. And go and stand at the grave of someone that was prominent, well-known, influence, authority, strength and might. Stand at his grave and think now, right, what cars he drove, what businesses and investments he had, what was the lifestyle he had, where he went to, and today, what's the end of this person? So you're looking at his beginning, you're looking at him at the prime, and looking at him at the end. Let it not be now that you go to the Kabristan and you see, hey, where's my mother's grave? I want to find my... So you're so caught up and meshed, you're so consumed that you can't even identify your own parents' grave. Can you see? Your own parents. So you're so enmeshed in this whole thing here. So are you a good student? Ask yourself, am I a good student? Am I a good observer? So you saw how life went up, right? You saw the heydays, and then you saw the end of the person. Now that person, if he could talk, please, Hafiz Sahab, Mulana, Hadi Sahab, Jamati, whoever, Khankai, whoever, make a dua karo bhai. Make this some Quran Sharif for me. Make some dua for me, please. If you go to talk, then this is the thing that he's asking for. That what works here is sincerity, what works here is amal, what works here is your Quran Sharif. This is the thing that is working here. So make dua for me. But you see now, this whole cycle of life, where it's ending. So the traveling is worthwhile, provided with a good learner, the right learner, not biased, not prejudiced, right? And you're looking at the right goals, you're looking at the right ends, you're looking at that, then you call it a right learner. But if you're not looking at the right goals, right, you're playing the sports, kicking around, heading and all that, but you're wasting time. You're looking at the goal, seeing, alright, these people got the goal, and they won the World Cup. Each one got 20 million. See, you're looking in a material sense, you're looking like this, then I need to work like that. So exactly the same now, in a dini perspective, this is the circle of life, this is where you end. Now did you ever think like that? That this is where I end, and for this investment, this permanent residence, this place where there is no reverse, what have I done for this? For everything else I've done, that 60 years, 50 years of maja, I've done a lot of things. But this permanent residence, then what have I done? What energies have I spent for this? For this security, for this good, what have I done? Almarhum Thami Sahib Rahmatullah says that in India, two classes of people were most responsible to spread Islam. Admiral Foo's got me now. Who are these two classes? See, we all want to spread Islam, right? But then he's saying, which two classes? One, he says, the businessman, and the second was the Sufi. One is the businessman, and the second is the Sufi. But I would say, alright, what was in the businessman, the Sufi, that caught the people? He says, unki akhlaq. Akhlaq ko sahi karo, and you see people flocking into Islam. And akhlaq is the same thing like tazkiyah, same thing, exactly the same. And that's what we're running away from. Everybody wants to do his own thing. So, how is that to work out?